song number one.
So glad you could join us here. At this time, we're going to go through our announcements. So if you don't have a bulletin, just slip your hand up real high. We'll get those distributed out to you. If you open up to the first page, of course, you'll see our service times listed. As always, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening again at 5 o'clock, Wednesday night at 7, of course, is our Bible study. We'll be in Galatians chapter 4 this week. We have the soul winning opportunities listed there, as well as the salvations and the baptisms for the month of May, as well as for the year. If there's any salvations to report for today, please just slip up your hand. We'll get that counted up right away. 2, 3, 4, 6. 6, amen. All right, very good. And did I miss anything from the week? Did anyone still need to report any numbers from the week? All right, very good. Continuing on down at the bottom of the page, we have the offering totals received through the month of May. Prayer requests. We still have many ladies who are with child, so please continue to pray for them. Still plenty of other people who have very serious cancers and debilitating diseases. Please continue to pray for everyone who is currently on our list here. And then went over most of the updates this morning. Does anyone have any other updates for this evening? All right. Continuing on. Next page. Congratulations to Carter family. Roman John was born on May 22nd. You can see the stats there. So we're very happy to hear mom and baby are doing well. And everyone's doing okay. So they decided to decline the offer for the meal train. But we'll say a congratulations and appreciate all the prayers there. May Challenge Digital Detox. Got a few days left here. Finish off the month. Try to finish strong. June Challenge. Don't let this slip you by. Every single day, you got to attempt to give the gospel to someone. So try not to let June 1st go by and go, oh, man, the challenge started already, right? Like, try to put a note in your calendar or something if you're going to be getting involved in this, because it is difficult. It's hard to change your schedule and to really make sure that you're being mindful about trying to preach the gospel. It's a fun challenge, okay? It might be a stressful challenge sometimes. You got to figure out a time, like, I don't know. I think it's harder if you ever are stuck at, like, if part of your normal routine is just to be at home all day, it makes it harder because now you have to make a point to find somebody to talk to. Now, I will, and I have in the past, it's allowable to talk to someone on the phone and, you know, attempt to give the gospel that way. That's okay, you know. I don't know. I mean, I think I might draw the line at, like, chatting on text, like keystrokes, but obviously if you want to do something like that, that's great, but try to have a conversation with someone at the very least, have a phone call, something like that. But yes, well, yeah, I mean, let's try to do that. You know, I was hearing about, where was I, maybe it was at church camp or something. Someone was talking about, and I'm just getting real ancient when it comes to what young people are doing now with technology, but some type of a chat environment where, like, you get, like, random people, and you just get, like, just paired up, and people just talk about stuff, and they could have, like, a channel of like, I was hearing about some people that have, like, this channel of just, like, giving the gospel to people. I'm sorry? Omegle? Okay. Yeah. I believe you. I'm not that familiar with it. But here's the thing. The reason I'm bringing it up is just because, like, hey, that's cool, right? Like, if you can just get some random people that aren't doing anything at all and they're just, like, wanting to just talk or whatever, like, why not? Yeah, that's a video chat from what I understand. Yeah, it's like a FaceTime thing, so do a webcam, whatever, like, that's cool, right? There are ways it's getting easier to communicate with people, so I'm all for using that type of technology, especially if it's something like that. You could just do, it's almost like you're sitting in front of them. Hey, great, cool, learn to use that stuff and figure it out. Obviously, technology is always a two-edged sword, so you have the potential for good, you got the potential for evil, so use those things wisely. You know, don't get sucked into some weird stuff. That's the thing. I hear about things like that. I'm like, hey, that's cool to give the gospel. But then I also just start thinking, like, well, how quick can you just get into some weird bad stuff too, right? Like, there's perverts on it. Yeah. So, like, I'm not endorsing. This is why I'm hesitant with this stuff. I hear about it, but my mind is just going, like, okay, well, there's probably, because there's just weirdos all over the place online. So You gotta be careful about all that type of stuff. And I'm sure there's probably a way you could just do it and, like, you host your own thing and you just can just push the perverts out if they show up and just be like, yeah, get out of here, fag. And, you know, like, whatever. I mean, so anyways, I'm getting way off topic here. June challenge, try to give the gospel at least one person every day. If you could do that using technology, awesome. Like, I'm all for it, like I said. If that's something that you know about and you could do that, then that counts. It's just you need a human being to try to give the gospel to at least one a day. So however you can make that happen is good. I'm old-fashioned. I like going to the gas station right by the prison. So that's the first place that people go when they get let out of jail. And actually, it's not prison. It's a jail. So people get let out of jail. They walk down to the gas station. They call for a ride and stuff. And it seems like every hour, almost on the hour, is when people are getting released. So that's my favorite place to go. You find your own favorite place to go. But find people who, however you do it, to give the gospel to every single day of the month. You got to do it every day of the month. New church plant in Greenville. So I'll have a lot more. I'm hoping by by next week, even by Wednesday, to have more details. I'm scheduling things out. I'm trying to come up with a really good plan ASAP because I need to get a video put out. I want to promote this thing. I want to get the soul winning pumped up. So I can't announce a date exactly just yet, but early July. So first week, think first weekend, second weekend of July is what we're planning. So just to keep that in mind, that's what I'm shooting for. But I need to make sure everyone who's involved in this is going to be available and the schedule works with them. So that's going to be here before you know it. Bible memory passage. Did I miss anyone for giving away prizes from 1 through 20 this morning that completed it, didn't get a prize? Anybody? All right, very good. And by the way, the denomination that amount is for is the smallest denomination. In case you're wondering, right? Obviously, you want to know what the gift card was for. It gives a range of from this amount to this amount. It's that first amount is what that's for. So just so there's no confusion there. It's not $100, sorry. It's 20 verses. You have to do a lot more to get a bigger prize. So, anyways, hope you enjoy those gift cards. There's another 20 verses here, so we hopefully get that done in the next 4 weeks. Upcoming events: our anniversary, June 22nd and 23rd. There's going to be something Saturday, something Sunday. Probably some soul winning on Saturday. I mean, I know we normally have a time anyways, but maybe just a little bit extra, maybe a little bit longer, something like that on Saturday. And then if I am able to pick up the bounce houses from the same place I did last year, I'll probably be able to get it for the weekend. And so we'll set it up here and have it kind of available for Sunday for sure, maybe Saturday evening as well. So nothing too crazy, but we'll probably do like burgers and dogs and stuff like that. We'll do a little grilling and keep it pretty simple. So that'll be at the end of June or near the end of June. And then, of course, that church plant opening in the back, birthdays, anniversaries for the month of June. And that concludes our announcements for this evening. Now, there are obviously there's a lot less people here. I think there's people out sick. Just remember, be in prayer also for people who aren't here. But if I could please just ask, maybe if you don't normally help clean tonight, can you just give me a hand and help with some of the stuff to just try to make sure everything gets done? It's been pretty low impact. We didn't have a huge service day today. We didn't have a lot of mess making in general. But anything that you can do to help helps me out a lot. I appreciate it. So that's about it. So I'm going to turn the service back over to Brother Will, who can lead us in our next song.
fell by the wayside, came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive.
Where was that?
Verse 12.
12. And hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it become unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? Nor, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should become abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth immediately, he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for this day, and let us all be here gathered together in your church. Thank you for this passage, and I pray that you would be with Pastor Burson as he preaches. Fill him with your spirit and help us to apply to our lives to be better Christians. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, so the part of the chapter I want to focus in on this evening is this parable of the sower and really just the expounding of that parable in Mark chapter number 4. Look at verse number 16. Bible reads, And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And these three different scenarios. I believe these are people who all get saved. They're all people who have received the word of God. The Bible says that the sower soweth the word. So in this parable, you've got someone who's sowing the word of God. And in the parable, some of it just gets eaten up by the crows. It is eaten up by the birds. It just never brings forth any new life whatsoever. It gets eaten up right away. But then some of it goes in the stony ground. Some of it goes in this other ground. And some of it goes in a good ground. And what happens is, you know, the plants don't grow as well in the good ground. But when it's in the good earth, everything works out real good. It's a solid plant. And that's the parable. That's the story of just someone sowing seed. The expounding of it, though, Jesus says, hey, the sower sowing the word of God. We know faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So people are hearing the word of God and then maybe receiving it, maybe not. But in every single one of these instances, the seed is bringing forth, except for the first one, of course, the seed's bringing forth life, right? And the word of God is what brings forth life. And when someone is born again, there's a new life that's brought forth. And that's what happens, is that new creature that's created. And if, just like with believers, just like people who get saved, there are some people who don't really do a whole lot with their life after that. They get saved, but they don't really care so much about the things of God. There's other people who maybe get excited for a little while at first and start growing and maybe even start reproducing, bring forth fruit. They kind of change their life up, but then they end up falling out, kind of getting out of church and just not losing their excitement and their zeal and just kind of go on living their life, not living for the Lord. And then there's those that, you know, they get saved, they get plugged into church, they start growing and kind of continue in their faith, in their walk with God, in church, just sort of continuing until they die, right? And just bringing forth and doing, continuing to do more and more work for the Lord. And these are the three scenarios that are brought up here. So verse 16 is explaining the stony ground. These are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. So they receive the word and they're happy about it. Right? It doesn't say they receive it and they reject it. No, they actually receive it and they're happy. Now it says they have no root in themselves. And as a plant, they need to be rooted down. But what that means, not having no root in themselves, they have no character. They don't stick with it, right? It says, and they endure for a time. So they're there, they're growing, there's this new plant. But afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. So when things are going good, they're excited. Everything starts off good, starts off okay. It's like, hey, great. But then as soon as there's opposition, and as soon as there's a road bump, as soon as there's something that's just like, whoa, wait a minute, I don't know about this. It just upends them. It just offends them, and they're just like, you know what? Okay, whatever. I'm done with that. Now, that doesn't make them unsaved, but this is what I'm going to be teaching about is the fair weather Christian, and that's the obviously what we don't want to be, but just like in sports, I don't know, they call fair weather fans in sports. So back when I was younger, in like the 90s, everyone was a Dallas Cowboys fan because they won Super Bowls, right? Or everyone was a Bulls fan because they won championships. The winning team, it's like for the longest time, everyone's a Patriots fan, right? Like this, whatever team is just winning, 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 it's all of a sudden like, oh, hey, I want to. They're the fair weather fan. So when everything's going good, when they're winning championships, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm a fan. They're going to buy the gear. They're going to show up to the games. They're going to do all this stuff and it's great to be a fan, but then as soon as they start losing, as soon as things don't go so well, the fair weather fans, they take off. And see, you know, I knew a lot about fair weather fans because I grew up as a Cubs fan. If you know anything about baseball, amen. Before they ever won a World, you know, 1908 was like the last time they'd won a World Series at the time that I was a Cubs fan. So, yeah. But this is how you determine, you know, real fans versus the fair weather fans. Because real fans, I mean, you're going to remain faithful. You're going to be committed to your team, right? Now, obviously, sports, it's like, who cares anyways, right? It's a big waste of time, ultimately. It's not, you know, whoever you like to follow, those are other people playing that sport, whatever, right? But when it comes to life and it comes to Christianity, would to God, you know, people aren't so shallow, right? And they're shallow, like here, they have no root, they have no depth. So they're really shallow in their Christianity. And sure, when things are great, oh, we're having a potluck, cool. Oh, there's this big event and it's all exciting, great. Oh, we're having the anniversary party and there's water slides, awesome. Yeah, I want to be there. Oh, maybe even, you know, going sewing. Oh, this is interesting, this is cool. And then the HOA Nazis show up, and it's like, whoa, hold on a second, right? And any little thing, any small opposition, anything to sort of get in the path of serving God, that's, oh, wait a minute. You know, so you start making some changes, and then everyone starts making fun of you, or your family's telling you you're in a cult, or what, you know. Any type of opposition, it's like, okay, I'm offended. And what that means then is then they stop, right? So they don't bring forth fruit. And then it brings, of course, those that are sown among thorns, they hear the word, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and becometh unfruitful. In that example, they, in order to become unfruitful, it means they must have been fruitful. So they lasted a little bit longer, right? They're going for a little bit longer, but then again, other things are just distracting, taking them out of serving the Lord. And obviously, who we want to be are the ones on the good ground that, hey, you hear the word of God, grow and grow, the plant grows, the tree grows, the roots grow down, and you become more established and more solid in the things of God and serving God, right? Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 26. So the fair weather Christian, we have few examples of this, and I probably won't be preaching too late this evening. It's a very simple subject, but we want to make sure that this never becomes us. It's easier to become, you know, to be the fair weather Christian early on in your Christian life. That's easier to just kind of have that attitude and just kind of get out, but it literally can happen almost at any time. I mean, still, you don't want to be so puffed up into thinking, oh, that could never happen to me. You know, well, what's it going to take? How many years of not winning the World Series is it going to take before you jump onto the other a bandwagon and follow some other team or something, right? Like how long is it going to take before you just say, okay, I'm sick of church or whatever, right? Or things just not going well enough for you and you say, you know what, forget all this. You're in Matthew 26. I'm just going to read this for you. In Luke 7, 23, Jesus said, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Because what we read about in the parable of the sower is when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, so because of the word of God, because of the Bible, immediately they're offended. Well, Jesus said, hey, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. When someone's going to bring up some verse in the Bible, oh, the Old Testament or whatever, and you're going to hear this passage and, you know, you're not offended. Because the world's going to try to throw scripture in your face to make you be ashamed or feel guilt or like, oh, I didn't know that was there. And look, this is all the more reason too, especially for newer Christians and people who haven't matured enough and people who don't have their root going down in the scripture, in the word of God, in the house of God, yet it's important that the preacher's preaching on these things so that they don't get offended later on. You could hear from the preacher, hear the word of God and say, no, look, this is what we believe, because that's going to help strengthen the faith and not just allow it to be portrayed in some bad light or whatever and just let the world and let the God haters spin the word of God into looking like it's some horrible thing, because it's not, but to show and to give the reason and help people to understand, yes, the Bible does say that, and it is righteous, and usually, there's always good reasons for everything in Scripture. But you hear the common complaints of people saying, oh, well, you know, oh, Christian, well, Lot tried to give his daughters over to these guys to, you know, to have their way with her. How's it? Like, well, that was wrong. It's that simple. Like, well, the Bible teaches it. No, the Bible tells what happened. And it's like, oh, yeah, you want to bring up Lot? Because who are the people that were trying to defile, you know, and do vile things with the what they thought were the men that showed up? If you want to bring that up, right? And go down that rabbit trail. No, but that's why the, you know, the Bible teaches about those things. But people need to hear. People need to hear why the Bible teaches, oh, for the, for you know, if a son or a daughter smites their parent, right, that they deserve the death penalty according to Scripture. Well, we're not talking about a four-year-old who's throwing a tantrum and is, you know, doing one of these and, like, hits mom or dad in the face or something. Like, clearly that's not what the Bible's talking about when it's given a death penalty. It's talking about, like, adult, like, grown people who are so disrespectful and so rebellious that they'd be willing to throw a punch like that. And, hey, God says that that's, you know, that's what's righteous. That's what the law is. And, you know, if we have things backwards, then that's our problem, not God's. And, you know, don't let the world just water everything down so much. But, no, people need to hear the teaching on this and just at least hear the hey, this is what the Bible says. And we're not going to be ashamed, you know. And teaching the people who are saved, obviously, because these people, the watered-down Christians or the fair-weather Christians, are those that they are saved. They are born again. And you need to hear, hey, are you going to be ashamed of the Word of God? Are you going to be ashamed of Jesus, who is the Word, the one that saved you from your sin? Are you really going to now become ashamed and become offended at His Word when He's the one who saved you? That's a shame in itself. Now, again, the title of my sermon is A Fairweather Christian, and I'm not trying to be like super harsh, but Peter has a couple of bad examples. I'm not saying that Peter was this fairweather Christian, but there's a couple instances where he behaves in a way that is like that, right? Where he goes along when he shouldn't go along. He denies Christ when he shouldn't deny Christ, right? Because one of the things about the fair weather fan or the fair weather Christian is, oh, they're fine if everything's good, but as soon as there's opposition, it's like, no, 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 I don't want anything to do with that. Well, there's some pretty significant opposition, and it wasn't very popular to be Jesus's friend or be acquainted with Jesus when he was arrested, right? And that's what we're reading about here in Matthew 26. Look at verse number 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And look, this is why I'm even bringing this up. I want to make sure people are aware of this. Peter was pretty solid. He was a pretty solid guy. I mean, we can look at a lot of good things in the life of the Apostle Peter that he did in his service to the Lord. He was the one that stepped out onto the water when Jesus was walking on the water, and he called him out to him. I mean, he had the guts, he had the faith to step out of the boat and walk out to Jesus. I mean, He led the way in many areas and had some great faith, but he also had some error as well. And I'm just bringing this up because, hey, if Peter, I mean, and he's wholeheartedly here saying, like, look, I will never be offended. Like, never. You might have that attitude now, but we need to get rooted down and established to make sure that that really won't happen. Because Jesus' response to him is like, oh, really? That's never going to happen? Well, it's going to happen. You're going to deny me three times tonight. Three times tonight. And he had no idea at the time how that could even be possible. But of course, it happened, right? He, you know, Jesus gets arrested. Everybody flees from him. Everyone's offended. Everyone's scared. Everyone runs away. Now the heat's on. Now it's not quite as popular to be a Christian. Right? It's great when the crowds are there. It's great when everyone is, you know, they're laying down palm trees and preparing the way for him to come into the city, and everything's great, and everyone's yelling hallelujah, and you know, it's a very triumphant entry into the city. Yeah, that's great. That's when it's great to be a Christian. But now, when all of a sudden you might lose your life, you might get arrested, you might have, you know, all these bad things happen to you, now it's a different story, right? And that's what happened with Peter. Of course, we know the story. Peter was even in the face of, like, a maid, the Bible says, he still denied Christ. So I don't have it all in my notes, all the references of when he denied Jesus, but when he's trying to get in the gate, he's standing by the fire, there's different times where he denies Jesus. I mean, one of the times, a maid in the Bible is like a virgin girl. And if you don't have the boldness to tell a virgin girl that, yeah, I'm with Jesus, like, that's pretty bad, yeah. Right? That's really bad to not be able to do that and not have the courage, not have the faith, not have the boldness to just say it, at least to, like, a little girl, right? But look, you know, it's easier for us to sit here and go, oh, yeah, you know, but this is Apostle Peter, right? So let that sink in and just kind of be aware of that. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 2. We have one more bad example from Peter. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this either. I went over this when we did Galatians 2 Bible study a couple weeks ago. But we're talking about the fair weather Christian who doesn't want to serve Christ, doesn't want to necessarily do what's right when it's not popular, right? It's not the in thing. And whether that be through fear of threat, through fear of loss of life or liberty or something like that, you know, that's obviously one potential area that we would have to face and be able to overcome as a believer. But how about here, just peer pressure? In light of other people, other friends, other believers, other churches, other, you know, whatever, what are other people going to think? And this is what happens when the Apostle Paul confronts Peter in Galatians 2, verse 11. The Bible says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. So he's doing what's right. His conscience knows it's right. I'm eating with the Gentiles. Hey, there is neither Jew nor Greek in Jesus. They're in Christ. I'm in Christ. We're both saved by faith. I'm going to eat with them. I'm going to fellowship with them because there is no difference. Because of all people, Peter knew, hey, what therefore God hath cleansed, that call not thou common or unclean. I mean, he's the one who received that directly from the Lord. So if anyone knows that, it should be Peter. And if anyone's going to be bold enough to be able to withstand other people who are going to oppose him and say, what are you doing eating with the Gentiles? What are you doing eating with these Greeks? What are you doing eating with these Galatians? What are you doing eating with these people, these uncircumcised people? What do you think you're doing eating with them? You ought to be able to say, well, I am eating with them because there is neither Jew nor Greek. Because it is right, because there is nothing wrong with it, and you're wrong, and you need to get right with God. Yeah. And have some conviction and stand on the word of God and not be offended and not just tuck tail or not just go along with some other people because of your respect or persons or just because you don't want the conflict or whatever, right? Doesn't matter what the reason is. You need to be able to overcome that. You need to be stronger and more rooted and no, this is right, and not be swayed. It's like, are you a politician or are you a Christian? Politicians just, which way is the wind blowing? I'm going to go with the most people. But that's not how a Christian should be. We're not fair weather. Let's say, oh, what's the weather like today? Okay, yeah, maybe I'll go out soul winning. It's sunny out. And like, seriously, like literal weather, right? Like, I get it if you've got health problems. I get it if you're older. I get it if you've got really little kids to not, you know, necessarily bring people out into those elements that are more extreme. But I'll tell you what, if you're a well-abled person, don't look at some raindrops and think you're going to melt and go, oh, I can't go soul winning because it's raining. I mean, come on, have a little purpose, a little pep in your step. Get out there. Get excited. Don't let the little bit of weather. Because, I mean, look, you know that there's actually people who live in places where it rains, like, almost all the time? And you think God doesn't want them going out and preaching the gospel? You know those people who live where it's really cold and it's sub-zero and it gets freezing and it gets really hot and it's like 120 degrees outside, and guess what? You still go soul winning. You still go preach the gospel. Still do it. Okay, that was just kind of a side note, though. Galatians 2, here's the problem. And again, I went over this a couple weeks ago. Verse 12 says, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, who? When they that came from James, certain people that came from James, James's friends, he withdrew and separated himself. What's the real problem though here? Fearing them which were of the circumcision. He feared what they would do to him when Jesus was arrested, and now he's fearing what other people might say, and James's friends of the circumcision, what are they going to say, what are they going to do if they see me eating with these Gentiles? So that's why he changes what he's doing. And then verse 13 says, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. So he's a leader. People are looking up to him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. And it takes the Apostle Paul to confront him to the face and say, hey, look, fair weather Christian, you need to be able to stand with the people of God because they're believers, they're brethren. So if other brethren are going to, you know, say something or try to get you to not treat them the same way, then you need to correct them and not be a respecter of persons or not fear what the Jews are going to say or what the Jews are going to do. You know what's right. They're brothers and sisters of Christ. And you know what? There's people looking up to you too, by the way. And even if you're not an apostle, even if you're not a pastor, you'd be surprised. You might be surprised at people that will be looking to you as an example. Even if you have no idea, you never knew it, and you might not even think like, well, no one's ever caring what I do. But they do. One, we're social creatures and we learn from habits and behaviors of other people. And especially when someone's not right and someone's doing wrong and other people are seeing like, oh, this person's living with this sin or that sin, it just kind of becomes this known stuff. It emboldens people to do wrong. Peter was emboldening all of these other people who also believed like he did to now separate from the Gentiles. Why? Because he did it. And why did he do it? Because he was afraid. Not because he thought it was right. It's because he was afraid. And honestly, that's why those that have no root in themselves endure for a time, because when the affliction of persecution arises, why are they offended? Because they're afraid. Oh, I didn't sign up for this. Oh, I didn't know this was going to happen. Oh, I didn't know there was going to be problems or whatever. No, I don't want any part of that. Turn, if you would, to Judges chapter 14. The story with Peter and the Apostle Paul reminded me of the commandment in Exodus. Exodus 23, verses 1 and 2, the Bible reads this, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. And then verse 2, more appropriately, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. So it doesn't matter how many people are saying one thing, believing one thing, trying to use their numbers to influence you. Hey, it doesn't matter if it's 1,000 against one. You know, if the one is right, then that's what you do. And that's who you stand. You don't go along with the crowd just because they're a crowd. And that's, but unfortunately, a lot of people do that because that's the safe way, because then no one's going to target you or single you out, or you're not going to have to experience any backlash or any opposition because now you're going along with the crowd. And you see, I mean, that crowd, that mob mentality is how all kinds of things get pushed on people in general, by governments, by wicked people. Like, they just try to use that social manipulation to just influence people, and that's why they get celebrities, and that's why they get people to push whatever it is they want you to do. See, look, this person's do it, this person's this, this person's do it, to get you to go along and do it too. But the Christian should be more concerned about what God says and what God thinks and about what's true and about what's right than how many people are doing a thing. We don't follow a multitude to do evil. I don't care what James' friends say. I don't care what anybody's friends say. I don't care how many people. I don't care if there's how many churches are saying one thing. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And you don't have to worry about, oh, this is a safe play. No, you don't have to be safe. Stick with what's right. And then deal with the opposition, whatever's going to come your way. Hey, if you're serving the Lord, guess what? You're going to face opposition. The more you walk like Jesus walked, well, I think he faced a little opposition. So the more you walk like him, guess what? You're going to be facing opposition too. I did turn to Judges chapter 14. Now, being a fair-weather Christian, it kind of goes hand in hand. Don't be a fair-weather friend either. Right? Obviously, Jesus should be our closest friend, and we should be serving him and thinking about Jesus with endearment, right? And love and you know, faithfulness. How could you ever look to Jesus and then be like, oh, well, now I'm going to deny him. Now I'm going to separate myself. Now I'm going to distance myself from the Bible. I'm going to distance myself from Jesus because other people might mock me. Other people might make fun of me. Other people might say this or say that, or, you know, cast out my name or whatever. Of all people, Jesus? But even just with your friends, you know, You gotta make and be good friends, and not be someone who's just there when it could benefit you. Not just be someone who's there when things are going well or everything's going okay with them. But you know, when your friends turn into, oh, I have a need, oh, I have a problem, stay their friend. In fact, that's the most important time to be their friend, not to just dump them and leave them and whatever, like, oh yeah, this is just too much for me now. Now I can't handle this. Now I'm done being a friend. No, that's when you need to be their friend. Judges 14, we see an example of Samson not getting good friends at all. Verse 19, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. This was when he was gonna marry that Philistine woman. And he put forth that riddle, and then they got the answer from his bride, soon to be bride, and then he's all upset, so he had to go pay up his debt. And verse 19 says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. So he's just upset. He's angry, like, man, like, no one would ever know this. They got it, the information from his fiance, and now he's just real angry, so he just leaves. He's just upset. Now, if he had real friends there, right, real friends would have, like, acknowledged, hey, he's, like, marrying this woman, and would have respected that, and would have respected their relationship and respected that marriage. But what happens? Verse 20, but Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. Well, yeah, when you're using people as your friends, don't expect loyalty out of them. Right? Obviously, he wasn't a real friend. Your real friend isn't going to move in on on your wife, right? And then just take her to be your wife, right? Friend's going to have a lot more regard than that. Turn if you would to Proverbs chapter 17. And you know, it's not that hard to be a good friend. It really isn't. But you have to make the decision of what type of friend you're going to be to people. But to me, it's not that difficult. Like, it's just as difficult as making the decision, like, hey, I'm just going to go to church every service. I'm going to go to work every day, right? I'm going to be a good friend. I'll be there for someone when they have a need, because that's what it means to be a friend, right? I mean, you're going to be there when they need you. And like, this is what the Bible teaches too. I mean, we ought to be known. Christians ought to be known for having like model friendships of being there when people need you, right? Because what we should be reflective of is God being there for you, right? God, hey, you're a child of God. God's there for you. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. Right? We could bring all of our cares and all of our burdens to him. Well, why don't we be friends like that with other people here, if he could be a friend like that to us? Bible says in verse 15 of Proverbs 17, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? But then look at verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Memorize that verse. A friend loveth at all times. And look, people make mistakes too, by the way. That's why that has to be in there. Just like when husbands and wives make vows, you know, for better or for worse, it's because of the for worse. Well, when it says a friend loveth at all times, that's not in there when everything's great between the friends, right? When, hey, buddy, let's, you know, talk about this, hang out this, and everything's great, and there's no friction, no problems whatsoever. Well, that's easy to say a friend loveth at all times. No, but if you're going to be a friend and a friend's going to love at all times, it's going to be even when your friend transgresses against you, even when your friend does things you don't like, even when your friend maybe even gets themselves in a bad situation, but you know what? You're not going to turn your back on them. You're still there for your friend. Obviously, there's a few situations where you might have to break fellowship with a friend because God's word trumps everything anyways, but barring something so significant where you might have to, for their own good, show them some tough love, you're going to be there for your friend, right? You're going to love them at all times. And even if you do have to show tough love, you still love them, but you're going to do what's necessary to help them the way that God tells us we should be doing things. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Hey, be a good brother, be a good sister, be a good, you know, like literal, like family member. Let people rely on you. Be there for them, be dependable, be faithful. The fair weather people, they're only there when it's good for them. They're only there when they could benefit from it. They're only, Samson's has his friends, only that he could use, and he could just use them. Oh, I'm going to have a wedding. I need people to stand up, and I need people to do this or whatever. But he's not their friend. You know, what friends do you have? Are you there just to use people as friends, or are you there to be their friend? And if you're going to be someone's friend, man, be their friend and love at all times. Like, take them for who they are and help your friend out. Help a brother out. For real, though, right? 2 Timothy chapter 4. And, you know, a friend, you know, we talk about sticking by the Bible, sticking by Jesus when there's opposition. Hey, stand by your friend when there's opposition. I mean, maybe your friend goes through a hard time and like everyone seems to be against them. Be with them then. Be with them when it's not popular. Hey, you know, if you consider me to be your friend, stand by me when, you know, the news comes or when people are going to be all against our church and stuff like that, right? Stand with me. Stand with other people of God, other brothers and sisters in Christ when people are coming down on them. No, stand with them. Help, support, right? Be there for them. Be a friend that loves at all times, who you consider, you choose to be your friend, you know. Be a good friend to that person. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So the admonition here is, he says, be instant in season, out of season, when it's popular or not. Right? Don't be a fair weather Christian of just like, oh, well, everybody's saying this anyways out in the world, so I'll say this too. Right? The preacher that wants to say, oh, the pedophiles should all be put to death. Everybody says that. There's no risk in that. That's a statement that like 98, how many pedophiles are there in the world? What percentage of the population are they? You know, 90-some percent of the people are going to be like, yes. Right? That's true. So it's safe. But you know what? We need to be instant in season, out of season. Right. So with doctrine, with the word of God, say no, actually, you know, when the Bible talks about Leviticus 20:13, like, that's still true. Yeah. I don't care if it's not popular. It's still going to be taught. People are still going to be told they're wrong. Like, no, this is what God thinks. This is what the Bible says. Why is that so important? Because there's going to be a time when people don't want to hear it. And it's all the more reason why it needs to be said. And we need to stand firm and not back down and not just tuck tail and run. Last place I want to look at, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Parallel passage to Matthew 5, Beatitudes, Luke chapter 6. This is the positive teaching. This is the how to not be a fair weather Christian, right? Because it's going to bring up a lot of situations where it's going to be uncomfortable. It's not going to be what you would want to do, but it's what you need to do. Luke chapter 6, we're going to start reading verse number 20. The Bible reads, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. That's when it's easier to get offended. That's when it's easier to turn your back on Christ than it is to continue saying, no, I don't care if you toss out my name as evil. I don't care if you reproach me. I don't care, you know. You need to be rooted and grounded for that, though, to be able to withstand. But that's why Jesus is saying, hey, look, when that happens, don't worry because you're blessed. He says, blessed are you. What? I don't feel very blessed. My name's getting trampled on here. But he continues to expound in verse 23, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Like, well, I don't really feel like jumping for joy right now. Everyone's against me. But why should we leap for joy? For behold, your reward is great in heaven. Yeah, it doesn't end with you just being treated like garbage and then that's it and there's nothing else. No, God says, okay, they're treating you like garbage. I'll make things right. I've got a reward waiting for you in heaven. And whatever they do to you, however they might want to make you feel bad for being a Christian, for believing the Bible, tossing out your name for Christ's sake, that's very small and that's very temporary. But the gifts that God gives you, the rewards, I should say, that God gives you are eternal. It's like, I got a reward for you in heaven. They can't take that away from you. So you suffer a little shame, you suffer a little reproach, you suffer humiliation. God says, you know what? Go ahead and leap for joy. cha-ching, payday, right? And seriously, like, we got to have that mindset. We got to have the spiritual maturity to recognize it as such and not let it, you know, offend us and not let it get us out of church and not let it have such an impact and such a, you know, despairing moment to just be like, oh, I'm going to quit. I don't want to deal with this anymore. Walk by faith, not by sight. No, Jesus is like, no, be happy. You're going to get rewarded. And he said this, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. It's nothing new, and it's not you. It's the word of God that people hate, that the haters of God especially are going to hate and want you to stop preaching. They want you to stop. They want you to be silenced. They want you to just shut your mouth and quit and give up. And Jesus is saying, but I've got a reward for you. Keep it up. Verse 24, but woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you, look at this, when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. And this is the idea, and this is the concept that too many people that come to Christ have this notion of just thinking, well, now I'm a Christian, and now everyone's supposed to love me, and I need to make sure everybody loves me. Then I don't offend anybody. Good luck with that. Good luck in trying to be more like Jesus and not offending people. Because if you have a vision of Jesus that he's someone who doesn't offend, you have the wrong Jesus. Plain and simple. Because the Jesus that really existed was really bad at fitting your image of Jesus. If you think that he didn't offend people. If he didn't offend people, why was he crucified? Why were people conspiring and hating on him and trying to catch him in his words and trying to trap him for like his whole ministry? Why was that happening? Because he offended people, because he preached the truth, because he stood on the word of God. And he says, hey, watch out though when everybody speaks well of you. That's not being a true Christian. In fact, it's the opposite. Now look, we ought to have a good report with God and with man, right? But that has more to do with you know, having a good report is you're righteous, you're upright, you're not involved in, you know, base activities, criminal activities, super wicked activities, whatever. Like you're honest, you've got integrity. That's having a good report. Now, people are going to still try to cast out your name if you're serving God and you know, get you to stop and try to silence you, but and people will get offended. It's crazy. It's interesting to me. It really is. I've seen so many people get offended without even actively trying to tell them the truth or something. I've seen it, especially with just like family and acquaintances and just other people who know, like when you hold to biblical standards, when you just look at the Bible and be like, oh, I need to change the way I dress. I need to change my entertainment. I need to change this in my life. I need to change that in my life. And you just start changing things in your life to try to comply and be more conformed to what the Bible says we should and shouldn't be doing. That alone will get people upset with you. That alone offends people. It's like, oh, hi, relative so-and-so. Yeah, hey, thanks for you know, offering gifts or whatever for my children, but like my girls wear dresses, right? If you're going to get us anything, would you please? Well, how dare you? What do you mean they wear dresses? We're supposed to go out and you're going to play in dresses? And you're going to, you know, like... Just letting you know. It doesn't matter how nice you say it. Doesn't matter what you know, how tactfully and everything else. Sometimes people just lose it. Why? Because they don't like the conviction that goes along with what they know is what people know is right. But Jesus said, hey, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. False prophets are received by the world because they're of the world, right? The world receives its own. But I say unto you which hear, look at verse 27, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Okay, now again, this is speaking and teaching the exact opposite of the fair-weather Christian. So what are you supposed to do? Oh, with your enemies? Love them. Do good to those that hate you. That's not always easy to do, but that's what we're supposed to do. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. I was having a conversation with someone recently, and it is unfortunate sometimes, and especially if you, the more you continue to serve and the more you continue to minister, you'll find people, like the Apostle Paul said, hey, the more I love, the less I be loved. And there's absolutely truth to that. And sometimes you'll go out of your way and you'll try to help people and you'll sacrifice for people, and then they end up stabbing you in the back. Right? And I'll tell you right now, it's going to if you're going to be a servant and if you're going to minister to people and you're going to put it on yourself to say, no, I'm going to serve. I want to try to be Christ-like. I want to live my, you know, to be able to help people out the best I can. Then guess what? That will happen. But you can't be so shallow to then just throw up your hands and quit or stop trying to help people because some people don't appreciate it. Because some people don't do what they're supposed to do. Well, how about you just do what you're supposed to do? And sometimes, yeah, you'll get taken advantage of. But what are you getting taken advantage of? Is it some money? Okay. Some food, clothing, what is it? What is it really? And yeah, you know what hurts the most is when people just betray your trust or something. Yes, that hurts. But it doesn't change what we're supposed to do. It doesn't change going forward. I think there was someone pretty important in the Bible that one of his friends, one of his 12, betrayed him. Right? If it happened to Jesus, you know, don't be surprised if it happens to us. Verse 30, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. We're called to be different from the world. The world has you got something you can do for me, then I'll do something for you. Right? Oh, you're going to take me out to eat? Then I'll take you out to eat. And it'll just all be equal and all be the same. Now, look, if you take someone else out to eat or whatever, like I don't care about that. But my point is, don't be thinking I'm going to be getting involved and everything's going to be perfectly equal. You know, like it should never even be a thought. You want to take a friend out to eat or spend money on a meal? Then go ahead and do it. You don't have to feel this owing back. I mean, friends should just be able to be a blessing to the other person, and you're not thinking about, well, what am I going to get back? Or last time I went out, we went to Panda Express, and now, you know, I'm taking you out to some, you know, like, this isn't really working out in my favor here. Don't be like that. Whatever the case may be, right? Like, and look, don't just look to people to be good to that could only be good back to you, is what I'm saying. Don't look to love those people that could only love you back. Or, you know, be willing to serve and be above that. Overcome evil with good and be able to provide the love and the care for those that don't care about you and those that don't love you. That's what the Bible, this is what Jesus is teaching here. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Verse 35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. God is kind to the unthankful. Jesus healed 10 lepers. Only one even said thanks. They're unthankful, but he still healed them. He still did good unto them. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Make the decision to be the solid Christian. Make the decision to be the solid friend, to be someone who's going to, you know, love at all times, to be the person who's going to just be there and say, you know what, I'm going to be there for the Word of God. I'm going to be there for Christ. I'm not going to be offended at what the Bible says. I'm not going to worry about what people might say about my faith, about my belief. And I'm also going to be there for my friends. And I'm going to be there for them. And even if they aren't the best friend of me, you know what, if they're going to be my friend, then I'm going to be good to them. It doesn't have to be always equal with what they do for me and what I do for them. Don't worry about it. And you know what? When you have that attitude and when you can not just be the fair weather person that's just like, oh, it's all, as long as things are going good for me, then I'm cool. But actually stick through and do things and maybe be on the receiving end of some bad things for the cause of Christ, God rewards you. And at the end of the day, there is always value to that. You got the value of being and doing good for people, which, by the way, is a blessing in itself because it does feel good to help people out. It's a good feeling to be able to be a blessing to others. And two, hey, God already said he's going to reward you. Let's bow our heads, have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for being good to us when we haven't been good to you. We thank you for teaching us the right example. I pray that you please help us to not just have our own motives and our own thoughts and our own gain in our minds when we choose to do things, but help us to love like you love. Help us to be good friends. And I pray that you would please strengthen us and increase our faith so that we could just stand boldly on the Word of God and be not offended and be not ashamed of your word. God, we love you here. Please keep us safe as we go our separate ways tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we're going to sing one last song before we're dismissed. Brother Will, would you please lead us?
Song number 24.